Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Give us a follow, subscribe, like, all that stuff. The pregame Great Notion video today was just breakfast rankings by Brandon Sprague.
Ooh, I like that. What was the power rankings of breakfast?
Well, yesterday I have a local establishment that's cash only, like real throwback restaurant.
I could dig that.
And I've been craving going there for a long time, so I just said, you know what? I'm going. I'm by myself. I got nothing going on.
Yeah, it's a nice little Monday. Now, is there an ATM inside?
No.
So you got to come prepared with cash.
Well, they just had new owners, and I was actually, it's funny you say that, I was eating, and I was eavesdropping because they were next to me, and they're basically like, we got a new ATM coming in next week.
Yeah, you got to have, if you're cash only, you got to have an ATM on the premises. I'm not thrilled with paying that fee, but you got to give me, because I don't always have a ton of cash on me, but sometimes I do, and if I want your breakfast, it'd be nice to have a solution there.
So I'm sitting and I'm eating breakfast and I'm mapping out kind of what I want to get done yesterday and just really enjoyed eating a Denver omelet. And I'm like, you know what? I was trying to think of like what my top three breakfast options were. And so I was like, I'm going to do that on the video tomorrow.
There's your pregame ranking.
So I ranked them. So you could find that at our social medias. And then I did a little bit of the show preview.
I love a good omelet. I love
omelet's my number one.
Yeah.
It's my number one. I love a burrito.
God, I can't go number one, but it's top three. It's top three for
me. Well, but if I'm at a sit-down restaurant, I'm not ordering a breakfast burrito.
No.
A breakfast burrito like a Victor Rico's is for on the move.
Sure.
We're on the move, it's the number one thing for me. Yeah. I would choose it over a sandwich. But if I'm at a sit-down breakfast restaurant, that's a little different.
That's fair. That's a fair take.
Omelet one. Classic staple number two. Eggs, bacon, hash browns, maybe a pancake or waffle on the side. And then homemade biscuits and gravy.
Homemade. So burrito doesn't make your top three.
No, not in the sit-down.
See, I choose the versatility of it because I could do a burrito at a sit-down restaurant. And sometimes there's ways that you can kind of spice it up a little bit. You can get a little more loosey-goosey with your sauce. It's on a plate. Maybe I'm eating it with a fork and a knife and I'm not picking it up. I like getting messy with my burritos. And the versatility of being able to like, hey, I'm not finishing this here. Maybe I want to bag this thing, take it on the road with me. I got half of a burrito left. I could take it anywhere I go.
Some would say you shouldn't have to take it on the road. You have the home field advantage.
That's true. This is true.
But according to the NFL proposals, we might have reseeding in the NFL playoffs.
I love all this college football conversation about their playoff changes and the conference commissioners are meeting again to decide who gets auto bids. And the NFL's like, hey, hold my beer. We might change our playoffs too. How's that sound?
Yeah, the Lions set this proposal back in March. They're following it up. They're going to vote on this. The initial proposal was brought to the owners and it would reseed the entire playoffs starting in the wild card round. Meaning all seven teams from each conference to make the postseason would be seeded in order of regular season record. Now, the modified proposal would essentially leave the wild card round as is, but then reseed in the second round of the divisional round.
Standing ovation to the Lions.
You're in on this.
I'm 100% in on this.
I hate this.
I love every aspect of this. Mm. I hate the arbitrary reward for winning a bad division first off for getting to host a playoff game. I think it's stupid. You play in a bad division. You want to make the playoffs and have it there be something on the line. I'm fine with that, even if you're below 500. But the idea of a team who has a lesser than record, who played a easier schedule because their division was probably easier, getting to host a playoff game because of some old school rule that we can't get rid of, it's dumb. You can punch your ticket to the playoffs, but you don't get to host a playoff game if you have a worse record than the other team.
Yeah, but you can't control what divisions are bad and when they're bad, right?
And so it'll always rotate. Certain teams will benefit from it. Certain teams will be punished by it. Certain divisions will benefit from it. Certain divisions
seasons will
be. You're punishing the good teams, though. You're punishing the team that had a good season.
I don't think you're punishing the good team. I think you're punishing the bad division, which should be punished because you're a bad division. Now, you could still go to the playoffs.
But why should the best team in the bad division be punished for the rest of the division? They can't control what the other teams do.
If you yourself have a bad record as a division winner, you don't deserve to host a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying we haven't had certainly moments where
this doesn't happen that often. It's not every year, but there have been below 500 playoff teams who have hosted playoff games, and that's laughable. It's stupid, and it shouldn't happen.
How many below 500 teams have we had host playoff games?
I can think of three probably off the top of my head.
The Seahawks and the Marshawn Lynch game.
Saints did it a couple of years ago.
I thought
the Saints did it a couple of years ago. Am I blanking on that one?
I'm genuinely asking.
I'm not trying to like be confrontational.
No. I thought the Saints. It was somebody in the NFC.
The Saints
South.
Went to Seattle.
I know the Saints went to Seattle for the Beastquake.
So here you go. You got 2010 Seahawks, 2014 Carolina Panthers, 2020 Washington Football Team. Remember they hosted? Yep. That was the Taylor Heineke team.
8-9, right?
Or something like that. And as the Oracle hit it, it was not the New Orleans Saints. Oh. It was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC South 2 years ago. So those are all different. Well, I guess the NFC South twice, the NFC West, and the NFC East.
So last year, for example, now I guess it would have been
they were all 10-7
wild card. The Bucs were 10-7.
The 17-game schedule is helping boost up how bad those crappy division winners are.
I mean, the teams that were punished last year were the Commanders and the Minnesota Vikings. They won 14 and 12 games.
This is basically the Viking rule is what I would label it.
Yes.
But the Lions did it in case they don't win their division, but they have a great year like the Vikings.
I mean, to be 14-3 and not get to host a playoff game, and I know that the playoffs went the way that the playoffs went, but that's besides the point. It's like an MVP vote and a guy doesn't have a good postseason. Mm-hmm. It's a regular season award. You should be seeding the playoffs based on what you accomplish in the regular season. It's not egregious to be 10-7. And host a playoff game, you're above 500. The NFC West wasn't great. The NFC South wasn't great, but they weren't the worst divisions we've ever seen. But yeah, dude, if you tell me that now Tampa has to go on the road to Washington instead of vice versa, you tell me that LA has to go on the road to Minnesota, yeah. I'm not losing sleep over that. You're in the playoffs. The other team was better in the regular season.
I just am somebody that, like, you don't know what division's going to be the worst in the NFL. We can all take stabs. You said something funny yesterday after the show, actually, and I was like, yeah. The AFC South has kind of sucked my whole life.
My entire life, the AFC South has been terrible.
Now, I know that that conference or that division isn't that old, but it's felt like most of our adult lives, that division's garbage.
Houston's been dog-ass. Tennessee had a brief run. Jacksonville's always sucked.
Like, when one's good, the rest are not very good.
Right.
But you use the Vikings, and I think context matters here. The Vikings went down in glorious flames. They were not even competitive in that Ram game. It was embarrassing.
No, they got killed.
Okay, 14-3. They deserve to host, you tell me, with their record. Okay, division. Division's good, right? Lions are a good team. Packers were a playoff team. I'm totally listening to you. I do. I think that division's really good. They only lost three times out of 17 games. Let's go through the schedule real quick. We want to play the schedule game and say, well, this team's in a bad division because their schedule's easier. This was who the Vikings got to play last year. Now let's have some perspective of how the seasons went for these teams. New York, San Francisco, the Jets, the Colts, the Jags, the Titans, the Bears, Arizona, Atlanta, Chicago, Seattle. Are those
are the only wins that they had? They had 14 of them. You didn't list 14.
No, I didn't. But of the 14, okay. I listed like 9 of the 14 that were against garbage non-playoff teams. So like you can't use always just, well, the division's bad, so they're good. That's not the whole case. Like you got to play the whole schedule. And to their credit, they won 14-17. But now we're going to tweak it because they got 14 wins when like 9 of the 14 were against bad teams.
I mean, there's a lot of bad teams in the NFL. You can go play that schedule game with literally any team that you want. In the NFC South, Tampa won it at 10-7. They were the only team above 500 in their division.
Yeah.
The only team.
Yeah.
So that's why you're still in the playoffs. It's the benefit of being able to host a playoff game that I don't need. It doesn't make any sense to me. It never had. If the NBA did this, I would feel the same exact way. I couldn't even tell you the division is in the NBA.
Well, the NBA has
they
rendered
used to
divisions.
Do that.
They used to do it. I know. Yes. It was dumb. And then they changed it. And it was like, okay, that made sense. Let's seed you 1-8 based on how you did in the regular season.
I don't even know why they still talk about divisions in the NBA.
I don't either. They should just do conferences and live
if the East is going to continue to be dog ass and the West
they're
is going to have all the
top
talent,
16 overall,
I think they might end up eventually doing or toying with one season of 1-16.
And that's 16. When they announce expansion, that's the opportunity to completely jumble up because there'll have to be some sort of realignment for structure. And then That's why I think when they start doing expansion, like, they'll go through a process, even though we know Seattle and Vegas are going to get teams and they want to see how many other markets are truly viable to have teams. Then it's a matter of, okay, do we have enough talent to go? I think they go to 36 eventually. And then I think your schedule is 70 regular season games, and it's a home and home.
Are you talking
everybody.
About basketball still?
Yeah, yes. That just took a
We're talking
turn.
About the NFL. I understand. They're not going to do what you just said. They're not never going to 36 teams yet. They're not going to 70 games.
They're not cutting regular season
I think
games.
The NFL is going to go to 36 teams eventually, too.
Yeah, I just – look, I understand the pushback because it's the way we've always done it, and we want division championships to matter. To me, they still matter. They still – you're still granted a spot in the playoffs. These
the
things –
The second round's called the divisional round.
It is called the divisional
round. Why?
Well, there are their wild cards. I mean, I just
yeah, – I mean, I don't – I get the proposal. It to me, it's a fear-based proposal by a team that needed to win the very last game against their division rival to host and then watch that same division rival – lose because they were 14-3 and lost on the road. By the way, team they lost to also played on the road in that game. That was not a home game for the Rams. They played in Arizona.
Yeah, it was an LA Fire game.
So,
yeah.
Like, a lot of people questioned the Vikings' legitimacy last year, and Viking fan had a right to go, oh, guys, you're still questioning. We're 14-3. Yeah, well, when it was time to kind of prove it, not even close. It was a joke.
Yeah,
so,
it was. But there's not one example that I'm going to point to and say that's why this doesn't make sense. Minnesota got killed in that playoff game. They probably would have gotten killed if they played at home, but it doesn't change the fact that they were 14-3. Like, you play the schedule game. Tampa in week 10, going into their bye, they were 4-6 off of a loss to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up winning 10 games. They were 10-7 in the regular season. You know who they beat to finish the season 6-1?
I do. I have the schedule up right now.
New York, Carolina, mm-hmm. Vegas, the Chargers, nice win. They killed them. Mm-hmm. Carolina, who was terrible, and New Orleans, who was one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yep.
So they went 6-1 down the stretch, beating one playoff team and a bunch of teams drafting in the top 5 and top 6. So you can play the schedule game with anybody. To me, it's the fairest way to do it, and it's the way that makes the most sense in my head. It's the way every playoff should be seeded, that you can get a position and a spot in the playoffs, but to just like throw out records and act like they don't matter and a team is below 500, it happens very, very infrequently in the NFL, and for that I am thankful. But in the cases where teams have really good regular seasons in tough divisions, I don't want them to be punished because you're playing in the same division as a team like Kansas City and you can't win the division.
But football's not a fair sport.
Why not? It clearly is going to be. They're going to change this rule. It's going to pass.
Well, we watch it every year. When is football like very fair every year? Is it fair that some teams just have devastating injuries? Is it fair that some teams, Minnesota, they got to play back-to-back international games. Is that fair? I mean, it's never, college in the NFL, it's never a fair sport. We do this in college football all the time. When the Pac-12 existed, we used to talk about the Big Ten, and we still kind of do now because Oregon's in the Big Ten. They won the Big Ten year one. Do we talk about who avoids who? We talk about that all the time. Who's Penn State play? They didn't play this team and that team and that team. Football's not a fair sport. So like,
shouldn't we do
like
something to make it more fair?
It's just never going to be fair.
Why would this not be fair?
Well, because at the end of the day, you're going to end up having there's going to be some debate that happens, or there's going to be a schedule for a team and the record is going to be misleading and that team's going to host and then they're either going to get waxed and we're going to say, why didn't that team host? They won their division. It's never going to be a fair sport. You can try as hard as you want. Football's not a fair sport.
Sure.
That's the nature of it.
There's no doubt, but I am all for taking steps in that direction.
Like the Seahawks hosting the Saints for the Beastquake, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody going into that game, except maybe Seahawk fans or except maybe football fans that just knew maybe that home field advantage was going to matter a little more than the pundits, whatever. But I remember thinking like, the Saints are playing not a very good Seahawk team.
Yeah, they
were
below
500. And I watched that game, and I'm watching that, and I'm like, holy crap.
The Saints were the better team, and they had to go on the road to play in one of the toughest places to play in the entire NFL back when that was a great home field advantage.
Right, but sometimes football tells us the team we think is the better team is not the better team.
See, that? Yeah. I mean, teams are going to win and lose games all the time who are better or worse. I'm not losing any sleep over this.
But football is a settled thing. It's not a best of three. It's not a best of five or seven. It is a... You play that game on Sunday or Monday, and we'll all nitpick on, hey, how about that call in the second quarter? Or how about that muffed punt or whatever it is? You're never going to be in a position totally with people where football, it's just the gladiator one-day sport. And if you don't bring it, you're going to get worked and you're going to lose.
Always happen.
And you can say, well, my record's better. It's like, but you didn't win the game when it mattered.
That's why I have an 18-game sample size to decide who should be the better team and the higher-seeded team in the playoffs. And we should make the regular season matter.
Well, they're going to, they are, to your credit, they are
going
to change
the polls.
Yeah, it's absolutely going to pass.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I like it. I think I like divisions. I think I like making the divisions matter, whether they're good or bad. That's out of the control of the team that wins that division.
Sure.
They can't make a team in their division be better. The Bucks can't control
no.
how good or bad the Saints are run.
And I don't think you're being punished that severely. You're still going to the playoffs. If you win your division, you're still in. They're not changing that. It's not just going to be the playoffs.
Well, you're losing a home game.
You know? You are losing a home game.
Yeah.
You're still in the playoffs. If you're the deserving team, then go win the playoff game.
You're literally making my point. If you're the better team and deserving, then win the game.
That's what 18 games are for. You have an 18-game regular season to decide who should host playoff
I feel
games.
Like we're kind of talking in circles at this point. That's why I get really annoying with the hand gesture. Like, nobody likes it. Nothing's going to happen to you after the show today,
no,
I promise
it's
you.
It's okay.
I think we're kind of talking in circles at this point because you're making my point and maybe I'm making your point. But it's going to pass. They're going to change this format. The dreaded, oh, I finished second, but I had a good record in my division rule is going to change in the NFL. It's a winning the division for the divisional rounds not going to matter. We have a lot more to get into. Nick Kostos will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Get his thoughts on this. Is he going to be on Dirt or Sprague's side of that question? But some other NFL newsy things to get to next on The Fan.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Saraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Saraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. I know football. I know it more than you.
Football's great, man. Nothing brings us out in arguments like that, like football. Poll question's up, by the way. How should the NFL seed their playoffs? Best or worst record, or division winner gets home field advantage?
Nothing brings us together as Americans more than making us argue about a sport that none of us are educated enough about.
It's nice that the NFL took a brief page out of the college book.
They did.
I can't wait to yell about the Big Ten and the SEC getting four auto bids, and the NFL's like, hey, why don't we yell about our playoff format for a little bit?
We'll get to Nick Kostos. I'm generally curious because I don't think I've heard his stance on it. Where do you think he's leaning? He's a fiery guy. I don't know where he would lean on this issue as a Giants fan.
I feel like the Giants had a couple of runs where they benefited by not having great records, but winning their division. Were they wild cards when
they were wild cards.
That's right. They were wild cards. So maybe, I don't know. I'm going to say he leans your side. More of a traditionalist guy. It's the way we've always done it. We can't change it.
I just don't think it's broken. It's not broken. If it ain't broken, don't fix it.
There's a crack. Let's fix that crack.
I think what it is a Sam Darnold MVP Viking thing. I think that's really seeping in here. We'll get to Nick Kostos at the bottom of the hour. Mail Sack Tuesday. So get the Mail Sack questions in at 503-864-6326. That's the Fan text line. Any and all questions are welcome at the Mail Sack. We'll get to it at 8:15. The Bears' recent agreement with their offensive lineman Joe Tooney, $35 million extension.
Nice
that was
deal for both sides, man. Really smart move for them to go out and get him in the first place and then lock him up. It takes care of him financially for the next 2 years. It's a win-win all around.
Do you agree with Peter Schrager of ESPN, who says no big deal if Bears miss playoffs? You think that kind of pressure's in Chicago already with year one Ben Johnson?
I'm not doing that for a first-year head coach. I mean,
Caleb, number one pick.
Would their fans be disappointed? Yeah. If I were a Bears fan, would I be disappointed? Yeah. I also don't really know what to make of Minnesota this year. That's a massive question mark. What is Green Bay going to be, to the whole point of divisions and how challenging they can be? I think Detroit's going to take a slight step back. I think their schedule's brutal, and you just see regression as years go on with organizations.
Hutchinson should be back for them, though.
He absolutely should, and that will help their pass rush. I just think it's a normal reality of life if that's kind of the way it goes, and I do think their schedule, when you play that game in May, is incredibly challenging, especially on the road. Goff's got a lot of outdoor games, in which his numbers aren't very good in outdoor games. So I don't really know what to make of the rest of the entire division. I think Chicago has had a wonderful offseason, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a failure. If they miss the play, they go, you know, 9-8 next year and miss the wild card by a game, or they're 10-7, but the rest of the NFC is really good, and they miss it by a game and don't quite win the division, I'm not going to tell you it's a failure. As long as you see growth from Caleb Williams, as long as you see Ben Johnson know how to call a timeout in a clutch situation, and as long as you see their offensive line do a relatively decent job of protecting him, those are the successful things you're looking for, and then you could take the next step the year after that.
The Niners signed Fred Warner. We talked about that yesterday. It was basically going to happen. I just didn't know when it was going to be announced, and lo and behold, it happened after the show yesterday. Fred Warner is now the highest paid linebacker in the National Football League. We're getting more and more info as it goes on. I think we're still waiting the press conference in San Francisco for Purdy.
Yes, we have not had the press conference
but
yet.
But there's some indications that the way this deal might be structured might be a little bit of a prove-it contract. So incentives, like, hey, you're going to play elite, we'll pay you $53 a year.
Yeah.
But there's some intel that this might be in the 45 to 50 range.
Based with incentives on top of it.
Man, if that's the case, and again, let's wait before we have it concrete. If that's the case, that's even better negotiating by San Francisco. And yeah. It's one of those, it's a win for both sides of it. But Fred Warner, another Niner, announced yesterday he agreed to his deal, $63 million, three-year deal, highest-paid linebacker in football.
And he deserves it. He's the best linebacker in football. The Purdy stuff, I love how we overreact, or react, I should say, to contracts the first time we see them before
Florio,
seeing all the details inside of
them. Florio was on 95.7 yesterday. He says no other player at that position could generate the polarization reaction of a contract like him.
I mean,
I don't know if I agree with that because yeah. I think Lawrence
I
was a little
said,
bit of this.
I said this when Tua got the deal of like,
Tua,
dude,
yeah.
That guy's one more banged head against the turf away from never playing football again, and you're going to give him that kind of money?
Also can't play in like sub 35 degree weather at all.
I mean, there's been a handful of when Dak Prescott got $60 million a year, that was pretty controversial. He doesn't have a lot of playoff wins. Like, yeah, I don't know if it's just Purdy. I think Dominic Foxworth had the best take on this that I saw yesterday when he was arguing about Purdy and they were doing one of those dumb ESPN morning show things. Worth it, not worth it, overvalued, undervalued. And he was like, I don't care about any of that. He deserves every penny he's getting. You know why? Because the head coach and the general manager wouldn't have a job anymore if it wasn't for him. Because they put all their eggs in trading three first-round picks into the basket of Trey Lance,
yeah.
And boy, oh boy, did that backfire. And if they didn't get luckier in hell finding this guy with the last pick in the seventh round, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo takes him to the playoffs. I don't know how the rest of the history would have gone, but there's a good chance that those guys could have been out of a job, because usually when you make that bad of a trade, you don't recover from it, and you lose your job, and he saved all of them, so pay him every penny you got in the coffers.
Let's talk a little more football. Let's talk Eastern Conference Finals. We get a 90s throwback with the Pacers and the Knicks. We'll get his thoughts on the Timberwolves and the Thunder. We have a lot to talk about with our good friend Nick Kostos of You Better You Bet for the Daily Ticker. Don't forget the mail sack coming up at 8:15, but the Daily Ticker is next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Some people follow the rules. I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Tuesday. Brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. With the return of warmer weather, Pelican brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Joining us now is our good buddy, friend of the program, Nick Kostos. You Better You Bet, at the Kostos on Twitter. You can go give him a follow. Nick, good morning to you. We love chatting with you. We want to get to your Knicks and a couple of gambling angles in the conference finals. But first, you got to settle a debate for us. NFL playoff formatting. Should division winners get home field advantage, or are you in favor of this Lions change of base it on records and let's reseed?
Well, first off, great to be on with you guys. The traditionalist in me thinks that if you win your division, even if you win your division at 8-9 or 9-8 or back in the day 7-9, that you should be rewarded with the home playoff game because you won your division. But I do think the reason that why I get kind of excited about, and I do think this is going to pass, and I do think the tush push is going to get banned. I think both of those things are going to happen.
Yes.
Is that week 18 becomes way more interesting now, where week 18 has largely become, you know, it's fun for DFS and it's fun for bets and it's fun for fantasy football potentially. Like if you're a sicko that's playing in a league that extends to week 18. But I mean, there's usually what, like three or four games that actually matter, that actually really matter in week 18. But I think if you had it where the team with the best record could potentially host a playoff game as a wild card team, now I think it starts to matter a lot more. So I think in the interest of making week 18 feel bigger, I actually kind of like it. So I am in support of it. despite the traditionalist in me thinking that division winners should be able to host home playoff games.
Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, okay?
Our live studio audience wants to react to his take. Hold on, there we go. Oh, yeah.
The ladies go crazy for Costco, man.
Look, he did end it with, I like it for this reason, and he's making a very good reason, because Week 18, I thought, sucked last
year. Week 18 blows, yeah.
Right? He's right there.
But I don't know if it blows, but I do think that like if you're watching just as a fan, I think week 18 can be pretty boring unless your team's in a big game. Now, I think it's a great betting week, but I mean, we want to juice this thing up, man. Week 18 becomes 50 times better if this is the way the playoff format is.
It's a great argument.
And then when they go to 20 games, we'll find a different way.
It'll be week 19 and week 20 that we need to juice up. Yeah.
But it kind of feels like he gave you the win, but also he's kind of playing both sides.
He's a great guest. You know, he made us both feel like winners in that first answer. We're off to a great start.
I where are you at right now? I know we're talking football with you, and you just gave a great answer, and you're talented, dude. You're not on TV and, you know, simulcast for no reason, but you've got to be like going through it right now. You're a diehard Knicks fan. You're Mr. New York. They haven't been here in a long time, and it's a hated rival that has been around your entire life. Where are you at right now, nerves wise, with Knicks Pacers?
I hate the Pacers. I don't hate the Celtics, which may sound weird because I'm a New York sports fan. I think we're supposed to hate Boston teams, but I mean, the Celtics have never, like, historically in my lifetime at least, I've never been a big rival. The Knicks and Celtics have never been a huge rivalry. They played in the playoffs a handful of times. That's never kind of been the deal. So for me, I turned 42 next month, like watching all the series in the 90s, the teams I hate in order are the Bulls first, always, the Pacers, and the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
We got Indiana a couple of times, but they got us a couple of times also in the 90s. I was at the Reggie Miller game in 1995, game one, Eastern Conference Semis in 1995. Oh. Me and my mom were at the game. We left with like 30 seconds left to make the Long Island Railroad. We're walking through the concourse, true story, at Madison Square Garden. I hear the crowd booing. I'm like, we have to go and see what's happening. We walk through one of the tunnels, and Reggie Miller's at the line shooting free throws to put the Pacers up. What the hell just happened here? And I cried the entire way home on the long, I was 12 years old. True story. I also cried in game 7 when Ewing missed the finger roll. So I hate this team. I hate the Pacers. I respect them. Great fan base, like great team building. Halliburton's great, but I despise the Pacers. And the thought of losing to the Pacers, I would rather lose to the Celtics than the Pacers. Yeah. And I'm supposed to hate Boston. So nerves, I would say 10 out of 10 ahead of tomorrow night's game one.
So you're at one of the more legendary NBA moments in games of all time, and you missed it to leave for an earlier train to get home.
Well, I mean, I'm 12.
Yeah, you got to get to bed. School night, probably.
Like, my mom wants to go home. I don't really have much saying now. If my dad had been there, we're probably saying, look, it probably, honestly, I think the story's better this way.
Yeah.
Because I actually remember, like, walking into the tunnel and looking and seeing Reggie to my right shooting free throws. Like what just happened here? Yeah, pretty devastating, man. Pretty crushing.
Dude, that is we've all had losses like that with our teams over the years. Maybe you leave early or you don't see the ending. That's one of the most famous games in NBA history. Yeah. Wild to be there and to hear the crowd reaction. At least you're still in the building to see the outcome of it, as painful as it was. Nick Costos is our guest. You better you bet at the Costos on Twitter. Go give him a follow. OKC, we all know from the metrics, the numbers, back it up. SGA is going to win MVP, like best team in the NBA in the regular season. Not even close. One of the best regular seasons we've ever seen. And then I see him going against like the Mad TV kid coaching the other team in Denver in the second round, and the Nuggets are pushing him to a game 7.
Shave his head, right?
Dude, like, what are we doing? No hair, now we got hair. It came out of nowhere. Denver's got no coach and no GM, yet they're pushing him to 7, and OKC's younger players, the role guys looking a little pucker factor out there. What do you make of the Thunder and the gambling angle on this series? I just think based on value, there's a little bit, you know, there's good value on Minnesota because of the odds there. How do you feel about the conference finals?
So it's I'm a little biased because I come from the perspective of I've been betting Minnesota, and we've talked about this on You Better You Bet. I've been betting the Wolves for months.
Yeah.
I felt like Minnesota was like the big value team in the West. It took them a while to kind of coalesce and come together after the big trade. You know, Towns comes to the Knicks, Randle and DiVincenzo to Minnesota. And once they started to get rolling, I mean, you could see the upside of this team. So I'm sitting on a bunch of Minnesota to win the West, exact finals matchups against the Knicks. Like, that would be that's my ideal scenario. Wolves Knicks from a money perspective in the finals. So I'm not going to hedge off of it, but I mean, I said this on the show yesterday. It's like, what, water gun to my head, like, pick the winner of the series. I don't know how you go against Oklahoma City. Now, I will be betting Minnesota tonight plus the points, where I think the Wolves can absolutely keep this game close. I think the point spread's way too big in tonight's game, given Minnesota has a huge rest advantage. OKC played two days ago, and I know they won in blowout fashion, but I do like Minnesota to cover the spread tonight. I just think, betting independent, right? No spreads, no markets. Who's going to win? Tough to go against Oklahoma City at this point. I do think if Minnesota is going to win the series, it stands to reason that Julius Randle needs to have a huge offensive series like he did against Golden State. Oklahoma City is going to make it pretty difficult, I think, for Anthony Edwards. It doesn't mean Edwards can't or won't be the best player on the court, but I think Randle needs to have a huge series. And I actually think that correlates where if you like Minnesota to win the series, I think you should probably bet some Julius Randle to be Western Conference MVP, Western Conference Finals MVP, instead of Anthony Edwards.
If the Knicks do indeed beat the Hicks and they get to the finals, is Nick Kostos going to have to get himself to a finals home game?
Yeah, I mean, well, I have a young child, so it's like this stuff becomes exponentially difficult than it was. Do I have to go to a game? I mean, like, yes. I don't want to spend like $3,000 to go to a game, and I tried with Odyssey. Hey, get me tickets, and they failed spectacularly. A bunch of idiots. Like, thanks, guys. I mean, like, I work my ass off for you. I asked for one thing in 6 years. You can't get me Knicks tickets, and that was against Boston. That wasn't even against Indiana in the final or the NBA finals. So I doubt I'll be able to make a game. I will use my one-year-old daughter as an excuse, but it would be great to go.
Okay, I got to ask you something before we let you go, because that was fantastic. We love railing against the big wigs on the air. Now, let me ask you this. So we used to have Ken on all the time before he departed from your program, and he's now a professional gambler. I lost a bet to Ken in college football, and the payoff was I had to ship Ken something Oregon related, right? Like, if he would have won.
I remember this. Okay. Yeah, we talked about this on the show. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what part of it you talked about and didn't talk about. So I ship him. I get his address. I ship off this huge, nice, you know, basket of stuff Oregon related. I just think if we're being honest here, we need to be honest about this. When you get somebody's address, do you not plug it in and see where they live and what their house looks like?
No.
Oh. Only weirdos do that, man. I don't know who would do that.
Well, let me ask. Like, what's the thought process behind that?
Just curious.
Just want to see what you got going on.
Where you living? Know? What's it look like?
So basically, like, okay. Like, let's just call a spade a spade. You want to see, like, how expensive his house is. Like, that's what you want.
That's part of the equation.
I was more just curious than
the
entire,
you know, just kind of, you guys, good schools there? How's the front yard look? Is he upkeep it? How's it looking?
Hold on a second. Because if we're going to do, like, the let's call a spade and let's be honest thing, you want to see how expensive his house is. That's what you, there's no, like, that's part of it. That is it, right? You can say that. It's okay.
Well, it's a little bit part of it. I wasn't so much like, oh, I want to see what it's value.
What are the other parts?
Just what it looks like. What's the domain? What's Connecticut like? I didn't know. I had no idea.
Are you subscribe to like Better Home and Garden magazine? Like, I don't what it looks like.
You damn right, dude. I'm on Zillow and Redfin every day.
Is it a white picket fence? You know, has he got solar panels on the roof?
Nick, if I gave you my address,
no way you care about any of these. You're hosting a sports show. You care if Ken Barkley has. You want to know how much money he makes?
Yeah, I want to know. You bet, fam, man. He's doing good things.
He's bragging about how much he was making off the.
It's okay.
I gave you my address, I'm not saying you look it up. You clearly say you don't, but like you might in your head be like, "Do they live in trees out there? I've never been. I'm kind of curious."
I have to be honest, and it's not that this isn't to say like I don't care about like it's not personal. Like, I just don't care, and it's fine. Like, just because I don't care doesn't mean that other people can't care. I'm not even criticizing it, but I don't care at all.
Well, Dirt, I don't know why you would look up his address like that. That was
really
weird.
Why would I do
a
thing like that? Why would I even ask that
question? You're making Nick feel uncomfortable right now.
It's a horrible question to even ask.
I feel uncomfortable. I would feel, listen, a lot of people, look, there's nothing wrong with it. Everyone, people like to know how much money other people make. But I think if you were just honest about it and said that, like, I want to see how expensive his house looks. Like, that's what it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
well, New Yorkers are interesting, too, because I have media books. So, like, I'll look
he's
up.
He's going to keep dodging the question. No, I'm answering.
I look up, like, a New York-based NBA writer, and I'll just plug in what the address is, and it's just like, it's a building. And I'm like, eh. You know, it's a building. It's New York. Yeah, yeah. It's about what I expected.
That's kind of what's going on.
Ken's
there.
Was.
You got, there's some, like, I don't know, man. This, I feel like this, like, this is a great, like, therapist topic, man. I think you should, like, talk to a shrink or something, man. There's something here. Something really good here.
Yeah,
I like it.
There's a nugget in there. We got to find. We got to dig deep enough.
Therapy Tuesdays.
We got therapy Tuesdays. I think this is a Therapy Tuesday topic. Nick Kostos.
This is a great therapist. I mean, you say that to a therapist, you, that's 55 minutes of gold for that therapist right there.
He's the host of You Better You Bet. We love talking to him at The Kostos on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Thanks, buddy. Good luck to your Knicks, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah, and I live in a really nice community with lots of trees and foliage, and it's beautiful. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck.
There you go.
Send your address, yeah, Nick. I'll look it up.
We'll check him out. We'll keep it up.
What's the play?
Let's take a look at that thing.
Are you serious?
It's hard to say this because he's got a point. It literally wasn't at all about, like,
I mean, you're curious. How much that's, he, that's
no,
a part of the thought.
I don't care how much he makes.
But you can't avoid looking watching. At it. Not, you can't avoid looking at that when you look up a house.
No, I'm legitimately telling you. I'm just curious what it looks like. I see the price of the house when I look at it, but it's not my driving force to look at it.
The reaction.
I don't think he's coming back on. I think I ruined
He'll come back on. He's not going anywhere. Nick Kostos loves us. He loves us.
That poor bastard.
The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Do you know the warmer weather's right around the corner?
This weekend,
we get fall summer. Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's a refreshment that you can see. Went a little long there. I got some funny odds and ends. We'll get to them next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole. Eastmoreland.
Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. Love this text. Dirt's about to get murdered with that dude chilling behind him. That's our new BM. As they call him around
here.
How
does somebody not know who Dusty is?
Well, maybe the camera. Well,
I don't think the camera could quite see his face. He was standing outside the studio.
It's Dusty, the brand man era.
Yeah.
With giveaways that we're going to have to do on the show. The BM is in the building early.
Definitely way creepier than me.
on a Tuesday. Yeah, look, I don't think your take is wrong here. I think you should be more willing to acknowledge the financial component of it.
But what I would ask legitimately, do I find out the value of the house if I look at it? Yes.
There's a way you could look up a house without seeing the financial component of it.
Well, but I didn't know that.
You could just Google Maps it.
I don't have Google Maps.
I actually...
If you do it on your phone, so if you type in Ken Barkley's address on your phone, and then you could click Street View.
Yeah,
on
Google
the
Maps Street View.
Redfin and Zillow give me, the Street View.
Along with a listing or last sale.
No. Last sale price.
I didn't dive into
how
all
many
of
upgrades?
That stuff.
Oh, he fixed up his kitchen in 2022. Ken!
I'm not like a dirty person.
Did I scare Nick Kostos away?
I think he did. He's a little spooked right now. I don't know if he's willing to come back on. You might have ruined that relationship. We lost the whole show now. Ken retired, and now we can't get Kostos back on.
It's funny that it lined up with a Therapy Tuesday drop of basically like, you need to see a
You should really talk to somebody about this.
I wanted to tell him, but we ran out of time. I got through therapy enough to stop going to therapy, if that should tell you anything.
Oh, he would have come off the top. Apparently, you're not done yet.
No,
well, but I asked Dusty if he's ever, would he do this? If he got Joel Klatt's address. If I gave listeners Joel Klatt's address, I don't have Joel Klatt's address.
You just tweeted out, hey, by the way, I know where Joel Klatt lives. Here it is.
But if you got the address, I think naturally you would just plug it in.
I would, but also a big, I'm willing to acknowledge if I'm doing that, a big part of it is seeing how much money you've spent on the house.
Yeah. If that was my driving force to do it, I would just tell you flat out, I'm curious how much you spent.
$3 million? What do we got?
But as a guy who doesn't use Google Earth, I only use Zillow and Redfin.
You gotta Earth your Google, man.
It's just a way that I am used to plugging in addresses.
Well, our new BM tells me that we should be on time for the top of the hour, so I'm not going to kill too much time here. But I do have a fun factoid for you that can make fun of a random program that doesn't really ever get talked about, but I saw this over the weekend and chuckled at it. Do you know how long Boston College has been in the ACC?
Because I forget when all of this stuff got realigned. I sometimes mistake some teams like them that I don't think about.
They were an old Big East team.
Yeah,
the first time the Big East split up.
Yes, Miami.
2010.
It's close. 2005.
Okay.
So 2005, right. I think that's Miami, Boston College, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Miami's never been to the ACC title game.
No, they have not. They should have been last year, but Fran Brown got washed on the final game of the season at the Clemson game. So. Or beat Miami, excuse me. So Boston College joined the ACC in 2005. That was 20 years ago, for those of you who are not good at math like I am. 20 years ago. You know how many conference championships they have won in all sports since 2005?
Well, they have a good hockey program, or maybe I'm thinking of Boston.
Boston University.
Not Boston College.
No, Boston College has a good hockey program, but the ACC doesn't sponsor hockey. I think that's a different conference.
What about lacrosse? Is the ACC sponsored?
They have lacrosse. They got lacrosse. They're good in that, aren't they?
I would think so. They're likely to have won one there.
I'm going to say.
So in 20 years, how many conference championships?
Two?
Look at you.
It's going to be zero.
Three. Oh. They've won three conference titles in 20 years.
Now what sports?
I don't know. That's a great question. But I do know that Stanford joined the conference last year, or when would that have been? You know, last August, whatever we're looking
last
at on
year,
the calendar.
Yeah.
Stanford has won three conference championships in their first year in the ACC.
But is that like three different individual swimming conference championships? Or
with their women's rowing ACC championship this past weekend, it was their third conference title, and I got a chuckle at that. Boston College, 20 years, and they've only won three conference titles. 20 years.
Yeah, but some of those sports are like...
I mean, hockey's probably their best sport. I think we would acknowledge, and there's no ACC. I don't think ACC has hockey. They probably play in a different conference for that, so maybe they would have won a few more with that, but let's all make fun of Boston College.
I think my favorite thing from yesterday was the baseball team won the Big Ten title, and the softball team walked off in glorious fashion, and I mentioned the track winning in Turcos. They did?
They did? What?
News to me.
They did? They won? What did they win?
I mean, we should have always assumed Oregon was going to win.
I mean, they're
the
pretty good at that. That's kind of their strength. That's kind of their calling card. I got some other fun factoids for the final hour of the show. We will get to the mail sack coming up at 8:15. The end of another tradition in this sport. It's going to be a loaded final hour. Crunch Time, as always, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. Final hour next on 1080 The Fam.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.